Welcome to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit us at compasslew.org.
Good morning. When you think of the Apostle Peter, what comes to mind? Yeah, a lot. We've been looking at some pretty incredible stuff that Peter has done over the past few weeks. On the day of Pentecost, he received the Spirit and spoke and gave this incredible sermon. And last week, Will taught on an incredible act of healing that Peter performed to the man who was at the gate. Beautiful. But if you were someone who was following Peter around a few months prior, and you were trying to understand who this person was and tailing him on a very specific week in Peter's life, this is how you might have described him. Violent, angry, fearful, disloyal, and self-loathing. The week of the crucifixion was a really tough week for Peter. And I'm cherry-picking probably the worst week in his life. Props to him. He wasn't always this intense. But during that week, when his Lord was going through the worst week of his earthly life, this would have accurately described who Peter was. He cut off a man's ear. He ran and hid in fear, and he betrayed and denied his master three separate times, all when Jesus needed him the most. I'm sure throughout all of this, he was filled with shame and that he hated himself. That week, the worst aspects of Peter's personality were in total control. And if Peter stayed that way, he would not have been able to do the mission that the Messiah had for him. He wouldn't have been able to do it because he was not enough. So as we read through our passage today, I want you to keep in mind this Peter, to remember that not too long prior, this was who he was. This is how he was acting. I want us to look at his transformation from an angry, afraid, and violent man to who we're going to read about today. We're going to look at how he changed and how we too can turn our weakness into strength with help. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 4. This will be our main passage for today. And last week, we saw an incredible act of healing performed by Peter and John that got the people's attention and got them to focus on Jesus as the Messiah. And this didn't sit too well with the leadership in Jerusalem who had Jesus killed. So in Acts 4, verse 1, we'll start. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. This is a pretty intense situation. These are the very men who orchestrated Jesus' crucifixion and who had power to beat or have Peter and John killed as well. In terms of the threat to Peter's own life, he is imprisoned and his own life is at risk. He is at greater risk to his personal safety than the week of the crucifixion. Although I'm certain that that was a very intense week as well. So how does Peter react to all of this? Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Peter isn't a trained orator. He's not a philosopher. He has not spent years learning how to speak. He has spent a few years with Jesus being taught, but he was a fisherman, uneducated and common. And yet he delivers a powerful speech in a very dangerous and precarious situation. He's calm, he's collected, and he's bold. In the face of his own death, he does not deny the Christ, but proclaims the Christ and his allegiance to him, even if he loses his life. And so this is the Peter we see in our record. He is calm, peaceful, bold, loyal, and confident. This is only a few months after he was enraptured by his fear as his rabbi was killed. This is a remarkable transformation. It's a complete 180 from the Peter that he was before. So how did Peter make this change? How was he able to change so radically and so drastically? I want to offer up three things that we can consider today to help explain how he was able to make this transformation. And he certainly received a lot of teaching from Jesus as well, in addition to this, but these three things transformed Peter. The first was forgiveness. First, he was forgiven fully and completely, and he forgave himself. And I'll forgive myself for dropping that. In John 21, we see Jesus forgiving Peter, unwinding the pain of his three denials, and reaffirming Peter's mission and what it would entail. We'll start in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Each answer unwinds one of the denials and builds the mission that Christ had specifically for Peter. Peter would not have been able to carry out this mission of feeding and tending to Christ's sheep if he was burdened by the weight of his failure. We also see here that this mission that Christ had for Peter was going to end in Peter's death. But Peter needed to change to complete that mission. He needed to change to endure all the things that were coming. And so forgiveness from the Lord Jesus shattered his unfaithfulness, dissipated his shame, and reforged it into loyalty and confidence. Second, Peter witnessed the power of the resurrection. The ascended, glorified Jesus spent 40 days with the apostles, teaching them about the kingdom of God. Peter knew far more directly than we do that death was not the end. He witnessed Jesus personally in his ascended form firsthand. I haven't, so. And that changed something inside of Peter. It changed the types of power that held sway over Peter's life. The power of death and the fear of death being one. And Peter could then reframe all of the pain and suffering that was going to come as he did this mission and carried out his purpose, as he tended and fed Christ's sheep from an eternal viewpoint, from a kingdom viewpoint. And that melted away Peter's fear. In Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul, another apostle who went through a very stark transformation after encountering the resurrected Messiah, talks about how powerful the resurrection is to our faith, saying, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." And then in Romans 8, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And he says that after talking about how the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is in us. I'm sure these truths were going through Peter's mind as well in our record today. The witness of the resurrection gave Peter steadiness and stability. And finally, Jesus had sent the Helper, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that finished the transformation, empowering and emboldening Peter to speak on that day and to proclaim Christ in front of the leadership in the record that we are reading today. And so we're going to read through a few passages here about Jesus sending the Helper, and we'll discuss them at the end. And these are all from the REV, the Revised English Version. In John 14, verse 15, it reads, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, which will be with you forever. This helper is the Spirit of truth, which the world is not able to receive, because it does not see it or know it. You know it, for it is present with you and will be in you." And in verse 26, "And the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." In John 15, verses 26 and 27, "But when the Helper comes that I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that comes from the Father, it will testify about me. And you also must testify because you have been with me from the beginning. And then in Luke 12, our last record on this. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you need to say. In these records, we see that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, was able to complete Peter's transformation by reminding him of what Jesus had taught him. It was able to help him speak and have the words to say in front of crowds and in front of rulers and authorities. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit burned away all of Peter's insecurities and empowered him with boldness. And all of this resulted in the completely transformed man that we see in the book of Acts. One who could boldly and calmly face his potential death with no fear and with full loyalty to his Messiah. So let's continue our record in Acts 4 and see what happens. You know, he's been imprisoned. What happens next? Verse 14. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. After the miracle of healing that Peter performed and the powerful work of God that was being manifested, the leadership were at an impasse. They were the ones worried about the crowds because of the power of God displayed in this situation. And so at this time, they couldn't find a way to punish Peter and John. But that wasn't necessarily, Peter and John wouldn't have known that that's how that was going to shake out when they were in prison. They faced down uncertainty with the power of the Holy Spirit strengthening them and helping them stay calm. And this didn't just affect them. Peter's transformation wasn't just him, and he was this little isolated situation. This transformation was happening to the entire group of apostles and many, many people who were following Christ. And so Peter and John return to their friends, and we get this beautiful and powerful prayer asking for even more boldness. In verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, The place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What power from the transformation that these people were going through, that the apostles were going through. In the face of adversity that Peter knew was going to come when he accepted his mission from Jesus, he had to change. All of the disciples that followed Jesus, in order to perform the work ahead of them, in order to endure the challenges that were going to come as they did that work, they had to change. Because who they were previously was not enough to complete that work, to do what needed to be done, to endure what needed to be endured. So Peter alone, he wasn't enough. And likewise, we aren't enough either. God has work just for you. God has a mission for you. And that work and that mission will look differently for each and every one of us. Perhaps you're at a time in life where your primary job, your primary mission is to raise your children and take care of your family. But doing that well requires transformation. Maybe you're the head pastor of a small church and you're playing hooky because you're sick. Okay, because you're sick. But maybe you're pastoring a small church. Doing that well and taking care of people well requires transformation. Perhaps you're volunteering and you're in a role of service. Serving well requires transformation. Or perhaps you're going on a grand mission trip to another country to preach the gospel to people who have never heard it. If you're doing that well requires transformation. No matter what God is calling you to, no matter what mission or purpose God is putting on your heart, it involves a sacrifice of our old man and of our old man nature. Peter had to give up who he was to be who Jesus needed him to be to continue Jesus' work on this earth. And we see this pretty clearly spelled out in Romans chapter 12. And in verses 1 and 2 it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Each role we have is different, and that will also change throughout our lives and as we go through various phases. But each role, each mission, each job that God has for us requires that same transformation. A living sacrifice, one that gives up the corroding pleasures of this world for the purifying love of Christ. Because this world is set up to eat away at who you are, to build and reinforce negative patterns in your life, and to keep you trapped. And escaping that is really hard. It's really difficult. And if it were up to us alone, it would be too hard. But we have something that is able to renew and refresh our mind and our spirit day in and day out, and that is the Holy Spirit. We too can follow the same pattern as Peter to be transformed. We can forgive ourselves, free to look forward, without the shackles of shame weighing us down. We can know Christ and the power of the resurrection through reading the scriptures and through praying and through building a relationship with God the Father and with his Son. And we can have the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms our minds, that is a helper to us. But it's one thing to just say, be transformed, easy peasy, just like that. So I thought it would be helpful to talk through what it looks like and practically what it means to listen to the Spirit and how that works and how we can do that in our lives and have the Spirit transform us. And first is prayer. Prayer is the foundation for all of these things. Prayer is how you start the process of forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness through prayer, and then you accept it. Prayer is how you build a relationship with God the Father and with his Son. And prayer, as we saw in our record today, is how the believers then invited the Holy Spirit in and asked for boldness. It was through prayer, and God responded. So we start by asking God to help, for him to help us with his Spirit. Jesus left our planet entirely so that he could pour out the Holy Spirit, so that he could send a helper. It's part of the reason why he had to leave. And yet, so many people on this earth don't realize what they have and the helper that they have. And so first we should pray, and then we should listen. In the Old Testament scriptures, the voice of God is called the still, small voice. The nudging of the Spirit can be subtle. The whisper of the Spirit is most often heard when your mind is quiet and your heart is still. Anecdotally for me, in my personal experience, the working of the Spirit is like the thoughts in the back of my head nudging me to do the right thing. It's like a gentle press on my heart that pushes me in the right direction. In my worst moments, I completely ignore it and I say, I want to be angry right now. I don't want to set my anger aside. I want to doom scroll right now. Leave me alone. But in my better moments, I listen to that and I course correct and I change. And I'll be honest, I'm not always 100% sure when it's my own thoughts or when it's the Spirit, but that's usually most obvious after the fact, and I've, throughout my life, gotten a lot better at distinguishing when it's me or when it's the Spirit. And one example of this recently was just a few weeks ago, I was driving home from Indiana. I was at a tennis club, and I was coming back at night, and the roads were fine on the way there. The roads were fine on the way back, but the temperature was dropping rapidly. And so I was heading back toward the bridge to cross back in to Kentucky on 265. And I thought, I should slow down. Like it's you know, the conditions aren't super great. I should slow down. So I dropped from about 70 to about 60 miles an hour. A few miles later, I saw taillights and quickly realized that they weren't moving. There was a wreck. A semi and a car had crashed right at the start of the bridge. And so I started slowing down. Well, quickly I realized that the road was a sheet of ice. And so I had to pull over to the margin and gently and very slowly, as my car is, you know, wiggling, come to a complete stop from 60 miles an hour. And avoid hitting the car next to me who was trying to do the same. And though it was perilous and slow, I was able to get around the accident, and we were going very slowly, but I made it home safely and soundly. And I don't know what would have happened if I was going 10 miles per hour. It's quite possible I would have been fine. But I've learned that in my life, when I get an I should in my head, I should listen. Sometimes it's just good old-fashioned common sense. That's also good to listen to as well. But sometimes it's something much more. Sometimes it's something telling me about something I could not know. It's a pressing on the heart. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. And so the Spirit can remind you of things. It can teach you of things that you don't know. And it can give you words to speak. And it can transform you. Through the power of the Spirit, jealousy can be turned to thankfulness. Anger can be turned to peacefulness. Hubris to humility. Fear into boldness. And self-loathing into self-love. Because you realize that you are made in God's image. This doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't, you know, like, it's not just a one-time event and you're done. This is something we must do every single day. And it's what every Christian, what every person who calls themselves a Christian should be doing every single day, is listening to the Spirit, and in those moments of anger, responding. And hearing that voice when you are mad and you're in a fight with your spouse and you want to be mad, and you know in the back of your mind that you shouldn't be mad, and taking a breath and letting it go and changing. And those are, it's hard. And you have to practice that, and it takes time. But the Spirit will help you if you listen. It will be there reminding you of all the scriptures you read when you don't want to think about all the scriptures you read. But if we lean in to that transformation, day in and day out, God can and will do greater and greater things through us. Our giving will be more genuine. Our service will be done with more love. Our parenting will be done with more patience. So when we look at the power in the example that Peter displays here in Acts, we have to remember that he wasn't always that person, and that wasn't by his own strength, and that he wasn't some unique, special person who didn't have any faults. He failed just like we do all the time. And yet he forgave himself, he listened to the Spirit, and he changed. God knows what tomorrow is going to hold. He knows what challenges are coming our way, and he has a plan for us, a job for us, a mission for each and every one of us as a small part of this greater body of Christ. But that job is going to require that, just like Peter, we forgive ourselves for our mistakes and our flaws, we prepare ourselves, and we walk in the Spirit as a new person. Our choice today has eternal ramifications. As we decide to lean into the transformative work that God through his Spirit is doing in us, it's setting us up to not only handle the challenges that are going to come our way in this life, but it's transforming us and purifying us to be ready for his eternal kingdom, when all of the difficulty of this life will pale in comparison to the glory and the joy that will be. So my encouragement to all of you today is to lean in and to listen to the Spirit in your life, to be transformed just like Peter unto God's good works through the name of his Son, Jesus. So let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for the mercy and the grace that you show all of us. I'm grateful that you recorded Peter's struggles and his transformation so that 2,000 years later, we can see how he changed and the great things that he did for you, God, as he did. And we can see ourselves in his struggle. And we can see our flaws in his flaws. And we can see that how we too can transform into the image of your Son. Father, help us all individually and help us as a community to focus on that transformation, to focus on who we can be as we listen to you, Father, and as we listen to that Spirit. And I pray that you, in all of us, speak to us daily through your Spirit so that we can respond and so that we can walk in newness of life and accomplish the things that you have for us to do. Through the name of our Lord who paved the path for us and who made this possible by the incredible gift of his life and death. Thank you for all that he did. In his name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Compass Christian Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information on how we are striving to follow Jesus together here in Louisville, Kentucky, check out our website, compasslou.org, where you can subscribe to our newsletter and view additional resources.